sharing this message, and I tell you, the funny thing is, I haven't done this in a long time, but I gave my own copy of the message away to somebody, so it's going to be a test just to see if I really remember what in the world I'm supposed to be talking about. But I'm going to tell you, I want to talk about the Word of God. I knew the Gideons were coming. We've been doing a back-to-basics message. And one of the most basic things for us Christians to be aware of is just that powerful Word of God. The name of my message is weird. It's the Alpha, the Omega, and the Mu. The Alpha, the Omega, and the Mu. Y'all, I never heard of the Mu before, but we're going to explain it. But the Alpha and the Omega are the beginning and the end. We've heard that before. We've heard from the Word of God where He says that I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the first and the last. Now you'll never know if I really knew my message or not, now that I got my notes back. But the Mu is the Greek letter that comes in the middle of the alphabet, because God, I'll tell you, He's not just at the beginning, He's not just at the end with His Word, but He's all through. He's beginning, middle, and end. And so I just want to review just some of God's Word in light of that so we can get excited about God's Word. I'm looking out there. Are y'all excited about God's Word? Let's just take a break. Let's take a pause for the cause. What would you know about God if it wasn't for His Word? What would you discern from God if all you had to look at was the television? What would people discern about God if all they had to look at was you or me? They'd say, God's really in eating. That's what happens. They watch Big John only. Let me tell you, we ought to be a witness. We ought to be a living, walking Bible, but we don't get there unless we get ourselves into the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God, it says, can be planted in the heart to the saving of our soul. It's that kind of thing. The Word of God is a revelation from God, teaching us things about God, about ourselves, about this world that we couldn't know any other way. Now, a lot of people try to guess, and textbooks and all that stuff, and people and philosophies, and we all try to guess. We all try to, you know, there's a lot of guessing going on, but the Word of God says this is what's going to be, and I'm going to tell you, it stands firm. Nations and peoples and philosophies and textbooks have come and gone, but the Word of God stands forever. So I just want to give you some of the, we're just going to take the big picture. First, we're going to look at the Alpha, the beginning. And this is Genesis chapter 1 through 3, and I just want you to hear the powerful Word of God as it's involved in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, enter God's word right here. Then God said, let there be light. And what was there? Let's just all say it. Let there be light. And there was light. Isn't that good? That's something about the Word of God. You know, we just heard up there, it doesn't return void. He wanted there to be light. And there was light. And He continued on. He wanted there to be a sky and an ocean and land and plants and animals and people who bear His image. And every time He said it, and it was just like He said. The Word of God is powerful. And we see Him there at the very beginning. What about the ending? That's the Alpha. What about the Omega? We go to the other end of the Bible and to the book of Revelation. In the beginning, it was God's spoken word. He spoke it and it was. I want you to hear what it's going to be in the ending. Let me give you a little bit of background. We're in Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, we're seeing the final wrath judgments of God. The bowls of wrath are being poured out on the earth. These aren't partial judgments like the trumpet where one-third of this was destroyed and one-third of that was destroyed. This is complete judgment on the world. It's the end. And the final bowl of the final judgments is poured out. And this is what we hear when it's poured out. This is what we get in Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It is done. You know, it's the Word of God that brought things into existence. Can I tell you this? It's the Word of God that's going to shut it down. It's the Word of God that started it all off, and it's the Word of God that finishes it all up. It's almost a little anticlimactic. You know, before then, we're hearing about, you know, signs and destructions and earthquakes and all this stuff going on, but the final judgment is just simply God saying, I'm done. It's complete. It's finished. There is no more. It's done. And you know, when they translated the Bible from Hebrew into the Greek language, the New Testament's written in Greek, this little, you know, one of those preacher facts that nobody cares about but preachers, but it was written in Greek. The original of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And when they took the Hebrew Old Testament and they translated it into Greek, which is called the Septuagint, which happened before the birth of our Lord Christ, they used the same word in Genesis chapter 1 where it says, let there be. When he said, let there be light, is the same Greek word as it's in here in chapter 16, verse 17, when it says, it is done. It's the same word. It's done. It's completed. There is no more. Isn't that something? What happens when it's all over? You want to know what's going to be like in the end time? There's going to be a loud voice. And y'all, you don't want to be here to hear it. You want to be with the Lord. You want to know you're with the Lord. But it's going to come to an end. It's going to be the Word of God, mighty and true. There's a picture of this. And sometimes we see things better in word pictures. I'm going to go to chapter 19, verse 11 through 15. This is what it says. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in linen, fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, that he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God Almighty. I know that sounds all scary, and I ain't trying to freak you out. What I want you to know is, like in the beginning it was all about the Word of God, at the end we see it's all about the Word of God. The one called the Word of God, with a mighty sword coming out of his mouth, symbolizing a mighty word, is going to finish it all until he rules everything, over everything, and on everything, because really he's first and he deserves it. The Bible tells us that in all things he ought to have preeminence. So that's the Omega. So we get the Alpha and we get the Omega. But now we're in between creation and judgment. That's where we live. Have you ever heard that phrase, that on a tombstone there's the beginning date and there's the end date, but really matters is that dash in the middle and how you lived it? Well, let me tell you, the Word of God tells us how it began, the Word of God tells us how it's going to end, but now I want to know, where's the Word of God, where is God in your life? Because there's something that God did to bring our attention to the Word. This is what I'm calling the moo. Are y'all ready for the moo? On three, give me a big moo. One, two, three. That's the littlest moo. Y'all can do better than that. I can get the kids in here, we can do better than that. Come on, y'all, we're the big people. And there's no kids to see us acting all undignified. You know, let's give a real moo. Ready on three, a big moo. One, two, three. Moo. I got to teach y'all how to moo. One more time. One, two, three. Moo. That's so silly. Y'all are so silly. Let me give you the moo. In the moo, it says here in John chapter 1, in the beginning the Word was with God, and the Word, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So far, it sounds just like that word we heard in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was a mighty word that created them. Everything that was created through the Word of God. And verse 14, we see something really awesome. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The moo is all about what Christ has done for us, that we might come to behold him and to understand that he truly is glorious, that we might experience God's truth and God's grace. Later on in this chapter, it says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The moo is all about experiencing the middle, the dash between your start date and your end date is about coming to know the gracious God and Savior who bought our soul with the price of his son's blood. That's what it's about. I wonder if that's where you are. I wonder if you could sit there and go, man, I have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that I've taken the moo, the time in the middle. What God is doing now between creation and judgment is saving individuals who are lost for God's glory. He's also taking that same word and perfecting those who have been saved for his glory. He's all about his glory, and that comes through his word. Do y'all see that, adhering to his word? Isn't it a glorious word? You know, I always feel like when I see this, that the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. I know that we are not part of those original apostles. LG's old enough to be first cousins with some of them, but he didn't actually get to see them, you know, and we didn't get to be there. But when I read the word, man, do I feel like I get to see them? Have y'all seen them in the word? Have y'all felt like there's a closeness and a bond? Because I'm going to tell you, God will never break his word. God will never go contrary to his word. And when I read the word, I feel like I'm close to him. This is what he chose to describe himself as: the word, the living word, the powerful word, the creative word, the saving word. And oh man, I just like getting close to him. I just like to see him. There's no one else like him. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of glory, full of grace and truth, and I just want to see him. Let me give you one more instance here on the word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, at the very end of that, I call this more moo. We get a word about the written word. We get a word about the scripture. We get a word about what we get to carry here. And you know, we're blessed because not every generation of believers got to hold and tote around the word like this, or to have one of those nice testaments that day. I love the little ones because it has Psalms and Proverbs in it, and it's so good for little devotional times. But anyway, not everyone's been blessed like we're blessed, but the word of God that we have written down is sure. And I just want to read it to you. I just want to read this to you. I put on there verses 20 through 21, but just to infuriate Bert, I'm going to go up a verse. Actually, I'm going to go up to verse 16. Now what are you going to do? Go ahead, try to follow me now. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What this is saying is that these witnesses said, we even have this prophecy more confirmed when we look into the Scripture, because the Scripture was no work of human beings only. It was no work of just Paul wrote this way because he liked writing this way, and John wrote this way, and Isaiah wrote that way. It was the Holy Spirit of God moving men to speak and to write and record their word. It's not up for any private interpretation. This is God's word. It's his way, And it's an awesome thing. So we can be well assured about the Word of God. And I just want to give you a personal testimony. I didn't come to the Lord as my Savior out in some field by myself somewhere. I didn't automatically come in my own brilliance and realize I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I didn't even come in my own mind to realize I was a sinner because I was so proud and so brainwashed in the way of the world that I didn't think God cared how I lived. But it was when somebody shared the Word of God with me. And as they began to share the Word of God with me, that the Holy Spirit of God moved on me and said, "That's true what he's saying." And he started off with the very first thing that you can find in Genesis 1:1 like we did. And that is that there is a God. And the Word of God, that's right where it starts. In the beginning, God. I didn't believe that until they shared it with me. Until they started sharing and the Holy Spirit was moving on me and boom. Then they said, all y'all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. So what kind of bad news was I in? I just found out there was a God and I was on his bad list. And it shook me up. And I really was anxious. You know, that's one of the ways they used to describe people who are looking for the Lord. They're anxious. I became anxious. For the first time in my life, I was concerned about what God thought of me. Because for the first time, I believed in God. And then through the Word of God, they explained to me that Jesus Christ died for my sin, that I might be fully accepted in Christ, that I might be fully accepted by God. And I believed that. And you know what? When I said, yes, I believe, and I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, I felt a great weight lifted off my shoulders. I felt like I was new, and I found out why. Because the Word of God describes that as being born again, and I had a whole new life ahead of me. I didn't have to live the same old way. I didn't have to talk the same old way. I didn't have the same hopelessness. Y'all, I was one of those folks that was hopeless because I didn't think there was anything good in this world for me, and I didn't think there was anything worth doing. I looked at people who were married, and I didn't think that was any good. I looked at people who weren't married, and I didn't think that was any good. I saw people raising children. I didn't think that was any good. People who were dedicated to their work, and I didn't think that was any good. I saw people who were educated, and I thought they were fools. I saw foolish people who weren't educated, and I thought they were fools too. I thought everyone was a fool because I thought I was the best in the world. And yet I had no hope. I had nothing that I could do. I had no skills to offer. I had nothing until I met Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, I didn't meet him in a vacuum. I met him in the Word through a faithful witness sharing the Word of God with me. And I don't know what your testimony is. I don't know where you came to know him or if you've not come to know him yet, but I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God is the beginning, it's the end, and it's all up in the between. Okay? It's the moo. It's right here where you are. It has a word for you today. It instructs the faithful. It corrects the wayward. It has a word. The Word has a word for you today, no matter where you are. Whether you've been a Christian for eons and you grew up in the church 9 months before you were hatched, or whether you're here just trying it out for the first time in a long time, God has something for you in his Word. Do y'all understand me? Y'all got it? Amen. We can amen here. Can't we amen here? Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking when we were singing, I think this a lot of times in our church, we ought to have our slogan is, our motto is, where everyone is welcome. I think if we had a subtext or a sub-motto, it ought to be this, where church isn't a funeral. Amen? Because we're here to worship God, and we've been saved through his Word. James in chapter 1, it says, the implanted, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. That's what I hope for all of us today, that we'd receive that word of God, that saving word. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for what you allow us to be a part of when it comes to your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can put our faith. We put our faith in you, and you have never divorced yourself from your word. You've never apologized for your word. You never, start crawfishing about, oh, I said eternal life, but I only meant a little bit of life. You keep your word. You stand behind your word, and help us to be those kind of people, Lord, that stand with you and stand behind your word. But Father, I pray right now you would do a work in our lives. Y'all, just keep praying with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. You know, we've talked. Brother Brian talked about having a relationship with God. I've talked about having a relationship with God through his word. Do you have a relationship with God today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Can you say to yourself, you know you've been born again? Are you born again? Because without being born again, it says you will by no wise see the kingdom of heaven. Are you born again? Is that you? I'm not talking about your denomination. I'm not talking about your religious experience. I'm talking about, do you really know God? His word, if it doesn't say anything else to you, the fact that we have it, let it be known. He wants to be known by us, and he wants to know us. Is that you? If it's not, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand up? If you just need me to pray for your relationship with God, either because it's not there yet or because it's on the rocks right now, would you raise your hand up so I can pray for you? It's a private moment. Amen. It's a private moment. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father God, you know what's going on in each individual heart. Would you, Lord, would you answer their question? Whether it's about being born again, whether they're yours and they've been walking away, whatever it might be, Lord, would you answer the question of their heart with Jesus this morning? Would you give them through your Spirit direction and guidance on what they need to do, where they need to go? Would you help them to talk to me or talk to someone they trust in the Lord who will pray for them and who will lead them through your word to the right place to be? Help them not to suffer silently or to suffer alone in whatever it is they're going through. Help them to come and give their life and surrender to Christ, no matter what point they're at. If they've known you for a while and are walking away, help them to surrender this morning. If they've never really surrendered their life, their whole life, they just had a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge, help them today to surrender everything to you. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to preach the word. That was last week's sermon. We're going to preach the word of faith. We're going to teach it, and we're going to preach it some more and preach it and teach it and preach it and never stop, because it's an endless source of wisdom and God's blessings for us. If the ushers would come forward for the morning offering. And y'all, for y'all who raised your hand, and you know, and I know we made eye contact too, so you come talk to me. You come talk to me. You figure out the time. You come talk to me, okay? I love you. I'm open. I'm ready to hear you and pray for you, okay? If you still can't, come talk to me. If there's someone else you know you could talk to them. If you're not on that point, start by doing this. Jesus, help me. And if you don't think that's a powerful prayer, you just don't know who it is you're praying to. Just start off by saying, Jesus, help me, okay? All right. Father.